Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. For many people, the Christmas season starts with a performance of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, with its timeless characters, music, and drama. To find out more about this season's production, we headed over to the studios of Ballet Lubbock. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're in the studios of Ballet Lubbock, and we're visiting with Nicholas Draga, who is executive director of Ballet Lubbock, and Yvonne Rotsky, who is artistic director of Ballet Lubbock. Welcome to you both. Thanks for inviting us to your studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Welcome.
You know, one of Lubbock's great traditions is Christmastime Nutcracker. And, you know, everybody looks forward to this. It's the way people get started with the holiday season. It's really a part of people's lives. How is it that Nutcracker has become so ingrained into the fabric of our community?
Oh, well, that's a big question.
but it has. And I guess the question is, how did that happen?
Well, there's a lot of answers to that. I don't know if I'm smart enough to really be able to describe everything about it. I mean, one, yes, we feel very fortunate that it has become that tradition, right? So I'll start with a story. It's funny you bring that up. We, a couple years ago, kind of put up some butcher paper, like outside the lobby. We put out some markers and asked a question, like, why are you here? And we were just kind of curious what would happen. And one of my favorite responses was from a woman, and she said, you know, my mother took me, now I take my daughter. Yeah. So it really has been sort of that generational tradition. And I think the music and the story certainly sort of, you know, somebody also says, you know, it's not Christmas until you see the Nutcracker. So I think that is certainly, it's just a tradition for a lot of generations. Some families say, you know, this is our thing. Like, I take my family to the Nutcracker. And it's a beautiful story. The music, I mean, you hear it everywhere. You cannot not hear something from the Nutcracker, you know.
Because it's good.
It's good. Right. It's, you know, and as a musician, I'm, you know, Dr. Garner, she describes it, and she plays, I don't know how many hundreds of Nutcrackers, but she calls it kind of a lifetime piece. You could play the Nutcracker every year for the rest of your life and get something else out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's great music. I think part of the why it's also a tradition is because it involves so many people. You know, it's ballet, it's live music, we have a cast of over 180 people this year, which is our largest ever, but there's so many different people involved in it, from our village children, the level one, the 7 and 8 year olds, all the way up to, you know, Amar Ramasar, principal dancer of New York City Ballet, right? So it's all from the awe-inspiring to the darling, right? But also we have this cast of Mother Gingers that are community members who may otherwise never be on stage in a ballet, right? But you know, it's community members that get to be a part of it. So I think it just kind of touches in so many different areas. Mm-hmm. And plus it takes a village to put it on. We were talking about next week is moving day from Ballet Lubbock Studios to the Civic Center, and we have a team of movers, little guys movers comes, and we have to go to our warehouse and get Mother Ginger and you know, the 175 costumes and et cetera, and move them all over. So it's just, it involves so many different
community
people.
Community event, yeah, exactly. You know, I think another thing is that the Nutcracker is artistically at such a high level.
That's what, one of the reasons why people continue to come to see it here in Lubbock. And Yvonne, that really speaks to you, because what we see is so much of your work. How has this evolved for you, and how have you gotten it to such an incredible artistic level?
Well, I just saw Tamara Sleeves, who's our ballet mistress, and she and I both were in one of the very first Nutcrackers ever in Lubbock, and that's dating myself, but it was quite a long time ago. And so what you were asking, Nick, is I remember it starting when I was 11, and starting it from there when Mr. Hess and Suzanne Aker did it, and they only did the half version of it. You know, they didn't even have enough people to be in a full-length ballet. And from then, it's grown into this regular tradition. And so since 1979, it's been a tradition here in Lubbock, and that's older than most of the people that come see it. So it has been a tradition in this town, and I think it's become more of a way people start their holidays. And it's like Nick said, I have so many people that say, you know, I have nothing to do with ballet, but my grandmother went, and then my mother went, and now I go. And, you know, men, women from all ages. And so it's become that tradition. And so our job as the teachers and the directors has been to raise the level each year. Just like in everything in life, things get better, sports, music, culture, everything. So you raise the bar, so to speak, each time. And the training gets better, the dancers get better, the demand gets better, the physical demands get better, and you expect more. And so they all live up to these expectations. So the training, you have to get better to keep up with the times. There's really no other alternative. Right. It's Darwinism, right? So you have to keep up. So that's what we do. We keep up with it, and you know, we're not going to fall behind anybody just because we're out here in West Texas. We're going to keep up with it. So that's what we do, and the dancers all step up, and they're all so incredibly committed. I'm always amazed at these high school kids, how committed they are, and it's important for them to be that committed, because our level one kids who are 6 years old see these high school kids and go, that's what it takes. And then they get in the routine and the habit of being that committed. And then you just maintain that integrity of the technique, keeping it that good.
Is that part of the culture? You talk about how you have the young kids, they see the older ones, or they see Amar Ramasar, right, and they're inspired about this. You really have built a culture.
Absolutely.
Here at Ballet Lubbock, that is part of this commitment that you talk about. You see that in the kids' faces.
Yes, absolutely.
How did that happen?
Well, it takes master teachers. Any department, you have to have good teachers. So I had good teachers, and I teach from what I was taught. You know, that's just what a teacher does. You take what you learn that was well done, and you pass it on. Tamara had good teachers, so she's a good teacher. We have very good teachers, and we have a set curriculum, and the teachers follow the curriculum. So everyone's getting taught. Every teacher has their own way of teaching, but the curriculum is the same. And that way you have the same technique, the same strength taught. And these kids all, it's like a school. They all at the end of the year have to take an exam to advance. You don't just get to advance because you showed up. You got to do the work to get there. So it takes the teachers to maintain the level of a school. And they have to be master teachers. And for the kids, for example, Lori Wilson is our Sugar Plum Fairy. Well, she's born and bred from Ballet Lubbock. This is where she began her training. And she graduated from here and is now a professional principal dancer with the St. Louis Ballet and is performing Sugar Plum with them. She's an amazing dancer, so it is incredibly beneficial for our kids to see someone who came from here, who did the work, and now comes back to perform in her hometown. That you can't ask for anything more than that. And it's great for them to go. And she talks to them and says, you know, I remember having to give up this and this and this so I could come to ballet, but at the end you do it because you love it. And so it's really important for them to see what it takes to get there, and also to know, oh, I can get there, it can be done. So.
Well, yeah, I was gonna kind of brag on Yvonne about that. I mean, she's got this perfect balance of being able to like set expectations that are high, but in the same way of saying, like, you know, here are high expectations, but you absolutely can meet them. You know, you have those power, the power in that. So, and I think that's throughout the whole school.
Yeah.
So, and it's a very I'm not inclusive environment, you know. There's sort of that connotation sometimes, which I think it's kind of unfair and really untrue about, you know, the ballet world and how cutthroat it is. But, you know, I think, and that's true with, I think, the art community in general, right? You know, you hear that, but it's a very supportive.
Absolutely.
This doesn't, supportive yeah, this group. Seems to yeah. be a very supportive,
it's
encouraging.
Not, I think that the myth is that it's elitist, and it is not at all. It is, like Nick said, very inclusive. It's just about, if you're willing to do the work, no one's turned away. That's pretty much all it takes. Do you have the drive? Do you have the passion? Come on in, our door is open. I mean, and that's really how all ballet schools are. none of them really turn people away for any other reason other than, well, if they didn't do the work. I think that's life in general. Right, right. Don't show up and do the work, you're not going to get hired. Right. So, it's pretty much logic. You know, if you have the love and the drive, you're going to do it. Yeah.
And look how successful this has been. You have 180 this year, is that right?
Yeah, 180 cast members, yeah. And they all auditioned. I mean, and it's all from the school. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling, but, you know, it's funny because we have a great production team. I mean, Janie Bush is our production manager, and Meg Davis is our assistant production manager, and Kathleen Burrell is a volunteer. We log over 1,000 volunteer hours between Thanksgiving and Nutcracker. I mean, it's nuts, no pun intended. So it's just kind of, you know, this happens, and we actually film sort of like what it's like to be backstage once, and somebody commented, is like, oh, that is so like calm and not nearly as chaotic as I was thinking it would be, because it's just sort of everybody has their place.
A lot of respect for what the other person has to do. Mm-hmm. Everyone, it's too hard to make it difficult. It's already hard enough, so everyone respects what the other person is doing. And then again, it comes from the top. You know, Nick is so calm and good at what he does. Janie is so good at what she does. Letty is so good at what she does. So everyone knows what they do well, and you have that respect for the other person, and it just flows really nicely. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can speak to that because I played in the orchestra a few times, and so I got a chance to sort of see backstage how this works, and I marveled at how you get everything done with all these children, all these adults, all these costumes, all these sets. It just runs like clockwork. And I'm amazed every time that happens.
Well, we've done it a few years.
So we've had practice. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I give a lot of credit to the parents, because obviously with 180 cast members, you've got twice the amount of parents. They're very respectful that they trust us. So they know, you know what, I'm going to drop my child off, she or he is in good hands, I'm going to go sit and wait, and they trust us to know what we're doing, because if you don't have them involved with all of it, it takes a lot of the drama and the unnecessary stress out of it. Your child's going to do better. Children always do better when the parents not hovering over them.
Right.
And then the parents respect and trust us that we know what we're doing, and I think we've earned that, and so it's a really good relationship, and I credit them for having that commitment to let us do what we're doing, and then they're always pleased with the result. And so, like Nick said, we've done it for a long time, so every year we have a meeting to go, okay, well, let's do this way, this will be better. Every year we improve on what could be done better. So it's a never-ending process.
Yeah, wow. I mean, we our mantra, you know, save the drama for the stage.
Yeah, so, well, there you it can go. Be all on stage. Right. Yeah.
And of course, one of my favorite kind of backstage things that, you know, it all happens on the stage, but really we rent out half of the Civic Center, so a lot of the dressing rooms are in the meeting rooms on the other side of the...
So that's your secret.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
It's
so,
not all in one area.
Yeah, so, you know, we have like these areas where the mice and the soldiers get dressed. And really, one of my favorite things is when it's time for the mice to be on stage, they go through like the parking lot of the Civic Center in their little Hershey Kiss costumes. It's like my favorite thing. Well, you know, and they go upstage, and then I make the dad joke about how the Civic Center has mice, and it's great. Right. So, yeah.
And what you had brought about the orchestra, I think, and you know, if you don't know anything different than you think, well, every Nutcracker has an orchestra, but a lot of people in Lubbock don't know how incredibly rare it is that since 1979, 1980, the Nutcracker has always had an orchestra, and that's, first of all, for that length of time is, I mean, unheard of.
Right.
You can't even count on your hands that many times it happens, and especially for a school of our size, not a professional company, but we're just a pre-professional school. To have that happen speaks to the support of the arts in Lubbock, for the people in Lubbock, to make that happen, to have incredible people in the orchestra that are able to, because it's not an easy score. You know, it's very difficult.
It's hard, yes.
And so for that to happen each year is such a gift, and it's so rare. And for these kids to grow up knowing nothing other than, yes, of course we have a live orchestra, is just the education and the experience of it is amazing. So having that aspect of it, live music with orchestra, makes it so much more special.
I'd say as a participant and as a watcher, I just love that it's a live orchestra. I just love that.
Oh, and our dancers will leave and go on to professional careers and they always come back going, oh my gosh, I don't even remember what it's like to perform yeah. live music because it's very rare. It's right. it's expensive and it's rare to find them. So they come back realizing, wow, I was really spoiled there right. for a while. Yeah. So.
And the level of expertise in the orchestra, having played it so many years,
amazing.
It sounds really good.
Yes, it does. and I always brag to my friends in New York, I'm so spoiled because David Cho is just unbelievable to work with. I mean, I really don't know. I really can't quote any other directors with a school like us who have their conductor come into rehearsals a month before and watch the rehearsals and watch the tempo. And I mean, that's unbelievable that they would right. even, I don't even know if professional companies get that treatment. So I really am grateful for that, that he's so accommodating.
One of the things that I love about Lubbock's Nutcracker is that it's always got new things yeah. and new ideas every year.
Yeah.
Tease us a little bit. Tell us what you have in mind for this year.
I like it just because, personally, selfishly, I just don't want to be bored each year. I got to tell you, it's not my ballet of choice to go see. If someone's like, do you want to go to the ballet? Yes, anything but the Nutcracker. Because it tends to be the same. Da, da, da. But I like to...
But you should still come.
Yeah, she should still come. But I like to, but especially to ours, because I do put a little bit new stuff in each year. A lot of it has to do with the kids. Each year you get a different amount of kids in a level. You get a different ability of the level. So, you know, you push and modify and do what you can. I like to change the battle scene a lot because battle scene is actually my favorite scene. So I like to always put more in it. I have to say in the Nutcracker, people go, what's the hardest part? I would say the girls who do Snow is the hardest choreography, and the rats and the soul, it's the hardest. They never stop. A little added excitement is that Nick is going to be in our battle scene this year. He has a little cameo as the big mouse.
Yes, I am lost a bet, and now I am
auctioned at our gala.
Yes, oh, right. yes, okay. as a surprise item, and I am going to be a mouse.
Yeah, so we'll have a little cameo. But, you know, 1 year Russian will be all guys. 1 year it will be three guys and a girl. Spanish may be a pas de deux with a man and a woman, or it may be three girls. So we always, you know, change it up a little bit. I'm excited that Lori and Amar are coming back to do our Cavalier and Sugar Plum Fairy. We always have different people doing Dewdrop or whatever. So it's always different dancers and a little bit of different choreography.
There's a whole new scene.
There's it opens differently. And that's a major thing. So the opening scene has always been either street crossing or we open on the party scene. Well, this year we have, I wanted to be more of the European style at Christmas time. Any city you go to in Europe, they have vendors everywhere. So it's supposed to be in a German town. So our opening scene, which is the whole overture, right after the overture, is a village scene. And we have built little vendor shops, and our little level one kids are either a little village children selling food or nuts or singing a little choir. So it's going to be like a fun scene just to start off the aspect of the party scene.
See?
Yeah. So that's
great.
All new.
Bonus Nutcracker.
Yeah.
I'll have to come to see it. I can't wait.
Yeah. So each year I want to add on more and more.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
Nick, tell us times, dates, places, how to get tickets, that information.
Oh, all the good stuff. Yes. Yeah, so we have performances December 14th. Through the 17th, that's a Thursday through Sunday. So the evening performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are at 7 p.m., so that's a 7 p.m. curtain, and then matinees on Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m., so that is Saturday the 16th and Sunday the 17th. So you can get tickets through Select a Seat at selectaseatlubbock.com or ballylubbock.org. You can click on the big red button that says Nutcracker, and you can select your seats directly from our website, redirects to selectaseatlubbock.com, or if you want to talk to a human, 770-2000. So,
okay.
Yeah, tickets are actually, we sold out last year, and tickets are going faster than they were last year, which is a great thing
right.
for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. My daughter, I've got to take care of that immediately.
Yeah, yes, urgency, urgency.
So,
yeah. All right, wonderful. Iván Rotsky, Nicholas Dragov, thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More information on Ballet Lubbock's performances of Nutcracker are at balletlubbock.org. This episode of our program will be available on our website, kttc.org, later today. Rachel Boyd is producer of The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for listening.